Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton, and I'm so excited to share with you a new tool that I'm using for my health that I never foresaw I would use, and I'll tell you why. And I love it, and I'm going to tell you why. Before I do that, though, this episode is airing on March 20th, and if you have been around for a while, that date might sound significant, and it is certainly significant to me, one of the most significant days in my life. Today marks 3 years since the day our daughter Dagny died, and you can kind of hear those stories on the podcast, but she was born full term, actually almost a week overdue, healthy, was sent home with us, no sense of any issues or problems, and long traumatic story short, she died very unexpectedly when she was just 2 weeks old on March 20th, 2020. And I know that date probably sounds significant to a lot of other people because that was the week that the world shut down in response to COVID. And it changed my whole life. Changed my whole life in a major way. And one of the things that Chris and I did in the aftermath of Dagny's death was create the Dagny Foundation. And the Dagny Foundation is a way for us to honor Dagny by supporting other families who are walking through infant crisis or infant loss. Because I can tell you that we had no idea just how much support we would need and we would crave, and for things that you just don't want to have to handle with financial strain of loss or crisis. I mean, it's wild that we created the Dagny Foundation after our experience with Dagny and, you know, the expenses of having a child pass away are really overwhelming. And then just a couple years later, the twins were born at 27 weeks, you know, and talk about, I mean, that was a whole other level of financial strain because they were in the NICU for 93 days and our family was displaced because the NICU was a couple hours away from our home. And yeah, we never saw that coming. But both situations have strengthened our resolve to support other families. Just the other day, I got an email from a gentleman who is facing his infant daughter's second heart surgery. And it's not just, oh my gosh, how crazy and hard it must be to send your child back to the operating room alone as an infant to operate on their heart. But they're many states away from home and time away from work and travel and all of those expenses. It's extremely overwhelming, and just what your child is going through is a huge strain on individuals and families. But then when you add the financial component of it and you add all of these other things that just make an impossible situation unbearable. So I wanted to kick off this episode by inviting you all to support the Dagny Foundation in any way that you can. You can go to thedagnyfoundation.org. Dagny has no E. A lot of people spell it with an E. It's just D-A-G-N-Y. Thedagnyfoundation.org. And I'm going to link it up in the show description. If for some reason you can't find it, just message me and I'll happily send you the link. But, you know, if everybody gives a little, we can do a lot. We can do a lot where community is needed like community is never needed before. TheDagnyFoundation.org. We do have our third annual 5K coming up. I'll be putting out information on social about that. It's virtual for the majority of people. But of course, if you live near where we live on Cape Cod, you can join us in person. But we'll have information about that as well. And you can get a t-shirt and all those sorts of things. But for today, if you feel so inclined, we would love for you to go to thedagnyfoundation.org, donate whatever you feel like you can give, and stay tuned for more information about the 5K, which will be June 10th. Again, you can do it from wherever. You can walk around your neighborhood with friends. But yeah, in all of your donations, the Dagny Foundation is a 501c3 nonprofit, which means they are tax deductible. So thedagnyfoundation.org. All right, let's dive into this. I'm very, very excited to talk to you about. It's kind of odd the way that it happened. Somebody messaged me on Instagram just a couple weeks ago and said, hey, Elizabeth, have you ever used a continuous glucose monitor? What are your thoughts on them? And I said, I haven't, and I probably won't, and I don't think that they're necessary for most people. I still feel like they're more of an advanced tool that most people don't need to start with. If you don't yet have nutritional consistency, please don't think that that's like a good way to start. However, maybe just a day or two later, I got an opportunity to try a product called Levels. Levels is a continuous glucose monitor with a really cool app, and I decided to give it a go. One of the primary reasons that I wasn't in favor of using them before is my own personal fear of needles. Like, I have a huge fear of needles. I've finger pricked myself to test my blood sugar when I've been doing different fasts or just out of curiosity during every one of my pregnancies because I opted out of the oral glucose tolerance test where they have you drink the thing when you're pregnant, the like sugary beverage, and then test your response to it. I opted out of that because that's just like a chemical shitstorm. And instead, for a week, I would test fasting and 2 hours postprandial, 2 hours after a meal. And it was always normal. So using a continuous glucose monitor is not just for diabetics. I am not diabetic. I am not pre-diabetic. But I'm going to tell you why I think it's such a cool tool. So I got the opportunity to give it a try. And just to be clear, this is not an affiliate situation. I have not been compensated in any way. I paid for and continue to pay for the Levels product. But it was funny because this person asked me, and it was right around the time that a bunch of people in my mastermind said that they were using Levels. And still I was like, no, I don't want something on me. So the way that a continuous glucose monitor works, I think most people know that you can test your blood sugar just by pricking your finger, which I've done before. A continuous glucose monitor is this little, like, it's a little patch that you put on your skin. Most people put them either on their belly or on the back of their arm, sort of on the tricep, on the fatty area of the back of the arm. And there are these microfilaments. They're actually smaller than the needle used to prick your finger when you check your blood sugar manually. And the little device with the microfilaments, you put a little piece of tape over it, and it stays there and constantly reads your blood sugar. So at any point in time, I can open my app and see what my blood sugar is. So because I was sort of directly asked about it and a couple people in my mastermind were using it and loving it, I was like, let's do it. And I love it. But before I tell you, kind of break it down, what it is, how it works, how much it costs, what I've learned, if I'm going to continue using it and for how long, I just want to emphasize that I want everybody to listen to this and listen to why I'm loving this experience. But I think if you are somebody who is still regularly binge eating or in an all or nothing mindset, you really need to work on that first. I always go back to a CrossFit-ism of mechanics, consistency, intensity, all right? Mechanics, when we are in like the CrossFit kind of world, mechanics is about, are you moving properly? Are you moving with good form? We've got to do that first. We've got to nail that first before anything else. That's the foundation. Then we go to consistency. Are you moving well? Consistency. Are you moving well, you know, when you, if you do a squat in the middle of the workout compared to a squat during a warm-up when you're really thinking about it, is the movement consistent no matter when or how you're doing it? And then, and only then after consistency, do we dial up the intensity. And I think of nutrition kind of the same way. Mechanics, consistency, relative intensity. Relative being it's specific to the individual. Your intensity is going to look different from my intensity, as it should. So the mechanics are you eating the right things? And then are you eating the right things consistently? And Sunday doesn't look wildly different from Wednesday, or Friday night doesn't look wildly different from Tuesday night. Are you consistent? Then and only then does it make sense to sort of add on these other tools that represent a higher level of intensity. That could be something like fasting. That could be something like a continuous glucose monitor. That could be something, you know, carb cycling or any you have to have the mechanics and the consistency down pat first, in my opinion. All right. So let's talk about it. I don't think it's a starting point for most people. I'm certainly not at a starting point in my journey. Let's break down what it does. So I explained to you that it's this little device. I want to say it's about the size of a couple of quarters, because it's not just like one little circle. It's more of like an oval. It's small. It's small. Mine is on my belly. I will tell you, so I had never put one on, but actually it's not true. I did put one on as part of a study years ago when I was living in the tiny house. I did wear one for a little bit as part of a study with Viome. I forgot about that. But even still, I do not like any needle, even though I understand this is even smaller than the needle I would prick my finger with. I had Chris come out to my office when I was going to put this thing on, and I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I get so worked up about needles. And he was like, all right, 1, 2, 3. And I'm like, no. I mean, there was so much drama. And then when he finally like clicked it on, I swear on my life, I felt nothing. Like I heard the click and I responded to the sound. You know, I kind of like jumped at the sound, but I felt absolutely nothing. When I was pregnant and I would do the finger pricks, I felt it. It didn't hurt. I mean, it like pinched a little bit, but I wouldn't call it pain. This didn't even register. I felt absolutely nothing, which is amazing. One of my girlfriends who's doing it said she felt a little pinch on when she put it on her belly, but then next week she moved it to the back of her arm just to see if she liked that location better. And she didn't feel it at all on the back of her arm. So it's not a uncomfortable thing to apply. And then you put a little piece of like athletic tape kind of over it so that, you know, if you were to bump it or something, it doesn't get affected by that. Typically you replace the sensor every 8 to 10 days, or you could just do it for 8 to 10 days and be done. Right. And you never have to sense it. You got 8 to 10 days, change it. You got 8 to 10 days of data and you're like, I don't want to keep going. But I will continue this because I'm enjoying it. I'll talk more about that. I put it on the right side of my belly. So it's kind of like maybe an inch and a half to the right of my belly button if I'm looking down at my belly. And I put it on that side because I tend to carry Roman on my left side. And so like his knee and kicking and whatever, I just thought that it would be better that way. And I almost exclusively carry him on my left side so that I can have my right arm free. So that's why I put it there. But you can also do the back of your arm. That tends to be an area that doesn't get, you know, touched or bumped or whatever. But I am perfectly happy with it on my belly and will probably keep it there. If you wore a lot of like tight fitting clothing, then you might not want to wear it on your belly. I don't wear like, I don't know, bodysuits. I don't know if that's a thing. My sister and I were talking about that the other day. Like, do people still do that? Adult onesies? Is that a thing? Okay, so let's talk about why. Why would somebody be interested in a continuous glucose monitor? Weight loss is certainly one reason, but there's a lot more than that. Energy levels, disease prevention, anti-aging. Here's what we know, and I've done a lot of episodes on blood sugar and insulin, so I don't want to like repeat all of that here, but if you're looking for those episodes, let me know. I can certainly go into the Primal Potential Facebook group and like put a list of those episodes. But what we know is that there is a direct relationship between blood sugar stability or blood sugar instability and ease of weight loss, because when blood sugar rises, insulin, which is a storage hormone, it's an anabolic hormone, is released in response to the rise in blood sugar. And I like to think of insulin as an usher. It is saying, okay, there's this sugar in the blood. We need to usher it out to a more appropriate place to stay because it's not safe, it's not healthy for sugar to remain in the blood for a prolonged period of time. Insulin is that usher that takes it from the blood and brings it to the muscles or to the liver, or in some cases, when the storage in the muscle and liver is full, it is converted to the storage form body fat essentially, and stored in your adipose tissue or your body fat, okay? When the more your blood sugar rises, the more insulin is deployed. This is one of the big issues with people constantly eating. And I don't mean like constantly overeating, but like grazing, snacking all throughout the day, is that they're always pinging insulin. And the presence of insulin tells the body, hey, we're in storage mode. So there's not going to be fat burning happening at that time because you can't have a ball going up and down at the same time. In the same way that you can't be in storage mode and breakdown mode at the same time. Your body only burns fat when that fuel is needed for your body and there is no other fuel available. If you are always eating, and that could be frequency, right? I snack every hour, every 90 minutes, every 2 hours, or it can be quantity. You ate so much at your last meal that your body doesn't have any need for the usage of fuel stored on your hips, on your belly, on the back of your arms, on your chin, whatever. So monitoring blood sugar can kind of show you, are you ever letting it come back down, or are you constantly pinging, keeping yourself from fat burning? So weight loss is absolutely one reason. The other reasons are energy. If you're wondering, gosh, why am I so tired all the time? And then you can see, well, that meal just sent me on a huge roller coaster ride with my blood sugar, and it went up more than it should go up. And then it came down kind of in a compensatory way. And that this instability is a huge part of low energy. Disease prevention, anti-aging. We age more quickly when we have dysregulated or imbalanced blood sugar. We are setting ourselves up and increasing our disease risk when we don't have stable, controlled blood sugar, when our fasting blood sugar levels are higher than is optimal. There are so many things that we need to look at when it comes to blood sugar and its impact. I mean, it literally impacts everything: workout performance, energy levels, disease risk, you name it. So there's lots of reasons that somebody would benefit from this data. One thing that I really love about levels specifically, because you can go to your doctor and see if they'll write you a prescription for a continuous blood sugar monitor, and there could be no cost to you with that. Levels is something that you pay for yourself. But what I really like about the app, and I'll talk more about the app, is the educational piece. And they're giving you targets that are targets for healthy individuals versus like the Center for Disease Control in the United States gives you quote unquote normal targets. Well, normal reflects averages, and those are not healthy, right? The average individual in the United States is overweight. The average individual in the United States has moderate, at best, metabolic dysfunction. So for example, Levels lets you know, and Levels, again, is the product that I'm using. It's the well, I guess you could call it the brand that has the app that I'm using. They say, you know, you're striving for a fasting glucose between 72 and 85 milligrams per deciliter, okay? The Centers for Disease Control says that, quote unquote, normal is below 99. So the CDC would tell you, look for under 100 for your fasting level. Whereas Levels is saying, if you want to be in an optimal range and you want to know that your numbers reflect health, work towards 72 to 85. Pretty well under what the CDC is calling normal. And I've said this before, I don't want to be normal. I want to be healthy. I don't want to be average. I want to be vibrant. I want to be thriving. I want to be well above the average. They also give you the target of, after you eat, not seeing your glucose go above 110. Now, some of you might be like, oh my gosh, mine goes to 150, 160, 170, over 200. Understand that where you start is just your starting point. And I like that it's giving you concrete data. You can see trends over time. It might take you 6 months or 12 months to get to a healthy range. But you're seeing the data day in and day out. And I find that to be really valuable. It makes it clear that you're working towards an average glucose, and it gives you all of these numbers and sort of a summary that is emailed to you every single day, an average glucose of 100. So over the average of the day, taking everything into account, your fasting levels, after meals, working out, you want it to average 100 or lower milligrams per deciliter. Most individuals are going to come in, I would say average individuals are going to come in and have numbers far above this. That is not bad. It is valuable to know the data so that you can work towards an improvement over time. Over time. I want to kind of jump ahead of what I wanted to share with you and talk about why I think this is such a cool tool. One of the challenges that a lot of people have with weight loss or with improving their eating is that there is this sense that there's no immediate consequences of eating poorly. If you have 6 cookies, it's not like you're actively hearing your waist expand as you eat that, you know? It's very, it sneaks up on a lot of folks. Like, they can easily dismiss the 6 cookies as saying, oh, this one thing won't hurt. I can do better tomorrow. This isn't going to make me, you know, gain 100 pounds. This is a small thing. I can dismiss it. It's no big deal. This one thing won't hurt. I was having this conversation with my massage therapist. When I was on the table, I was telling her about Levels and why I love it. And when I had come into the office, she was standing behind the desk and having lunch, and she was having French fries. And she told me, she was like, that's exactly how I justified the French fries. I was like, oh, I've been so good. This one thing won't hurt. I'll do better tomorrow. When you have a device like this, you see the immediate consequences. It's not that there are not immediate consequences, is that for most of us, we can't observe them. We don't have a data point to go along with it. And I love that. Chris and I went out for dinner the other night. My sister was here, and she and her girlfriend and my mom were with the kids. And so we went out, and there's absolutely a tendency for me to be like, oh, we're out to dinner. I mean, we've gone out by ourselves like maybe two times since the twins were born, just the two of us. And there's definitely this option I can choose of, oh, this never happens. I'm going to get a drink. Or, oh, you know, this is a treat. I'm going to have dessert. Seeing the data right in front of me made it so easy to be like, no, I'm not going to have a drink. Like, I want to have 24 of 24 stable hours. I don't want to have a spike. It's not worth it. The other thing that was cool about the dinner, so I've talked about this in episodes before, how the order in which you eat your food has an impact on the effect of the meal on your blood sugar. What I mean by that is, let's say that you were having a salad and steak and potatoes. If you had the potatoes first, you would see a much more significant blood sugar rise than if you had the salad and then the steak and then the potatoes. All right. The reason for that is, when you have the salad and the steak, you've got fiber and you've got protein and you've got some fat hitting your bloodstream and sort of slowing down that absorption process from the glucose in the potatoes. All right. If you were to have the potatoes first, bam, there's nothing to slow down that process, that digestive process, that metabolic process. So it was really cool. That happens to be what I ordered. I got a Caesar salad to start, and then I got a filet medallion, and it came with potatoes. So I had the salad, then I had the filet, and then oftentimes with something like a side of potatoes, it would be either I don't have any of them or I have all of them. And I was super curious to see the effect. I was eating more slowly because the speed at which you eat impacts the rise in your blood sugar. So I was like, I'm going to have one of these. They were roasted potatoes. So they were like small potatoes cut into quarters, bite-sized pieces. So I had one, and I'm like, I'm going to wait a few minutes and see if there's any sort of movement in my blood sugar, given that I've had this salad and this steak. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to have one more bite. And then after 2 bites of the potatoes, I was like, all right, it's interesting to see how little it takes to create this excursion, to create what they factor in and call a spike. And it didn't, but it was kind of moving in that direction. So I was like, yeah, it's not worth it. And it made it, having the data for me personally, made it very easy to say to Chris, hey, you want the rest of my potatoes? I'm not going to have them. You know, when they came by and said, you guys want dessert? I was like, no. The cool thing about levels, one of the cool things is that when you start, it gives you like very simple, simple targets. Having 12 out of 24 hours in the day be stable. And I exceeded that on my first day, but I think I had one spike in my first day, and I'll tell you about that. And then after that, I was like, okay, I'm starting to figure this out. And I've had 24 of 24 stable hours since. I like that. It's I'm not a video game person, but I like the, it's kind of like people who have an Apple Watch and closing the rings. Like there's a visual association and there's a performance standard association with what you're eating, which I find really, really cool. I like it a lot. The other thing that I find so valuable about things is there are foods that I would have thought of as completely blood sugar friendly. For example, full fat Greek yogurt. Well, on the first day that I was wearing levels, I had this, and what did I put in the Greek yogurt? I want to say I had like keto granola. So there's no oats in it. It's like nuts and seeds and different things like that, right? And I had that mixed in there. And I'm thinking it's literally protein and fat. There's some carbs in a dairy product, but not significant. And I would have thought of that as a very stable meal. Well, I was eating it while I was on the phone with my best friend, and I'm sitting in my office eating this on the phone with my friend, and I see this little notification pop up on my phone that says, you're headed towards a spike. And I was like, huh? You're kidding me. So I tap on the notification and it says, get up and move around. That can help. So as I'm like shocked, my blood sugar had jumped like 20 points in response to this Greek yogurt that I would have previously thought of intellectually as a very stable thing. And I didn't want to like go out and walk on the treadmill or anything because I was on the phone with my buddy. So I was just pacing back and forth in my office, and just that little bit of movement brought it down, and my body responded to just pacing back and forth slowly, just sort of sauntering back and forth instead of sitting. That was such a great thing to know, because oftentimes after dinner, that's when I'll sit on the couch with Roman and read a book or sit on the couch with one of the babies and feed them. But I could easily strap a baby in the carrier and just walk around the living room or choose to play on the floor with Roman and be more active. And seeing that, you know, it's one thing, we know that. I've talked about that before, how a little bit of movement after a meal helps with your blood sugar. But when you can actually see it, that is a completely different level of understanding. And that was so powerful for me. And I was just curious about it. So the next day I made the same meal, but I wasn't on the phone at that time. And Roman was napping and the twins were with the babysitter. So I walked on the treadmill really slowly, like super slowly, 1.2 miles an hour, you know, not trying to like quote, get a workout in or get a walk in, but just what happens if I do this while I'm moving. And it was a 3-point excursion. My blood sugar just went 3 points from the fasted state. That was so fascinating to me. I love to know that. And so since then, I've really made it a point to get up and get moving after I eat. And that's valuable. Having the data, is it reinforces things. We could hear it a million times, but when you see it in data in your own body, it's just that much more powerful. I want to get back to some of the lessons that I've learned, but first I want to talk a little bit about how the app works and what it does. There's a bunch of products like this. Of course, Levels is the only one that I've tried. My father-in-law is a diabetic, so he has a continuous glucose monitor, but he doesn't have like an educational app with it. He just has, when you get a prescription from your doctor for something like this, you just get the device, and there's often a readout app, but all it does is tell you the number and give you a chart. There's not like education or things like that that go with it, because the blood sugar monitor that I have is one, it's the Dexcom, I think it's the G6. Hold on, let me look on my phone so that I'm not misspeaking. Dexcom G6, that's the monitor that Levels sells like with their program and their product. So they do have an app, but when you open it, it's just giving you a number and a chart. When I open the Levels app, which connects to and communicates with the Dexcom G6, it gives you not only these targets, right? I said when you start, it's going to recommend like 12 out of 24 stable hours. It's going to recommend one healthy habit. That could be 10 minutes of exercise. It could be 30 minutes of exercise. It could be strenuous exercise. It could be 7 hours of sleep. But it's giving you a bunch of healthy habits and asking you to do just one of them. The other really cool thing is that it rates your meals on a scale of 1 to 10. So for example, this morning I had bacon. That was breakfast. It's easy for me. Mornings tend to be kind of crazy with getting the twins fed and getting Roman up and getting Roman fed and everybody getting dressed. You know how it goes. So that's just like an easy thing that I can have while I'm doing all of those things. It gives bacon a score. It takes a couple hours for it to calculate the score, and the score today might not be the score tomorrow. I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, because your body is different every single day. And if you get less sleep, you are less efficient in your handling of glucose. So something that got a score of 9 yesterday when you were well rested could give you a score of 7 today when you didn't get as much rest. So after a few hours, it spits out a score for your meal. Let me look at some of my previous scores here just to share. Why can I not see them? So I had that dinner of the potatoes and the salad and the filet. It got a score of 7. I'm pretty sure that it would have gotten a 9 or a 10 if it weren't for the few bites of potatoes. When I do the Greek yogurt and I'm walking, that'll give me a score of 9. If I do the Greek yogurt and I'm just sitting around, that could be a score of a 6 or a 7. What else? Oh, we had corned beef and cabbage, and I had the cabbage first and then the corned beef, and that gave me a score of 9 in the evening because I had it as a dinner time meal. I point that out because your metabolism of carbs is different in the morning than in the evening, and I've talked about that on a number of episodes before. But I really like that it gives you scores for your meal. And I like that you can see how it could be different based on the time of day that you have it, based on if it's before a workout or after a workout, based on if you have slept a lot or not slept a lot. I find that really valuable. It also gives you ideas for recipes. Every single day so far, it has given me recipe ideas. Let's see what came up today for recipe ideas. Chicken tenders with ranch dip, pumpkin seed dip with veggies, homemade grain-free granola, cream of broccoli soup. It's got a brownie recipe in here. Healthy tacos, tahini garlic and herb dressing, mushroom risotto using cauliflower rice. All of these things are recipes, and it gives me, it looks like 2 recipes a day has been sort of the trend. It also will give you articles in the app in your feed according to things that it's noticing in you. For example, I put in that I had a salad with chicken the other day, and then it prompted the pop-up of a article on salad dressing swaps, right? I don't think I used salad dressing with my salad, but because I put salad in there, it gave me this article. I put in a workout, and then it prompted an article on exercise and glucose, which is really important to talk about here. Exercise increases blood sugar while you're doing it, because if you think about it, now I'm not thinking about like taking a casual walk. That is movement. That is not exercise. But let's say you go out and you're going to lift weights. Your body is going to break down either from muscle glycogen or from liver glycogen, or if those stores are depleted, that can break down body fat for the purpose of putting sugar in your bloodstream to fuel your workout. So when you're wearing a blood sugar monitor, you can see that your blood sugar goes up during a workout. That is not bad. I could see how some people would be like, oh gosh, well, I shouldn't work out because I'm trying to, you know, keep it really steady or keep it really low. Those spikes are good spikes. Your body responds very positively to movement, and it's going to support your trend over time of lower blood sugar, because when we build muscle, we add glucose transporters to our muscle tissue, and that improves our body's ability to handle glucose. So you will see increases when you work out. That is not bad, right? We need to train ourselves to say, that's my body doing what it needs to do. This is good. This supports the trend over time. I'm not going to get all crazy because, oh gosh, this is the highest my blood sugar's been all day. That is not a bad thing. All right. You will see it go up with exercise. That is not a problem. And the cool thing with Levels is that you can let the app know when you're working out and what you're doing for a workout. And it factors that into your reports and your readouts and all of that sort of stuff. So I love that I can immediately see the impact because, again, I think so many people struggle with food choices because they don't have any way to see, to know what is happening in their body as they do this. I know that the more I increase my blood sugar, the more that's taking time off my life. It's aging my blood vessels. It's aging my vascular system. It's aging my cardiovascular system. It's associated with cognitive decline and cognitive impairment, neurodegenerative disease overall. So when you see that number, especially as somebody who understands the impact of elevated blood sugar over time, it is a very, very powerful thing. One of the other really interesting things was I started my period a few days into tracking and my blood sugar went up. Like literally when it started was corresponding with, I hadn't eaten anything, a jump in my blood sugar, and it remained elevated over baseline for the duration of my cycle. And I was like, gosh, this makes it so easy to understand that I personally, this might not be true for you. Everybody's body is different. I personally will and would benefit from a lower carb diet during my menstrual cycle than at other times of the month. That is so freaking valuable to know. The other thing is, I already talked about how sleep impacts your blood sugar. So it's been really great for me to emphasize more sleep, to go to bed instead of staying up to work or do chores or watch a show or whatever. But the other thing is stress. Stress increases your blood sugar. A lot of folks think that it's purely a function of diet, and it's not. The other day I was in a fasted period, so it had been 3 or 4 hours since I had eaten anything, and it was a time of day, I think I was actually preparing dinner. All three kids were crying at once. It was just a time of day that was higher stress, and I could feel my tension rising. And just out of curiosity, I looked at the app to see what my blood sugar was doing, and it had jumped like 15 points in response to stress. And seeing that was a really incredible kind of reminder for me to take a minute, change my perspective, take a few deep breaths, turn on some music, just improve the vibe and the energy, because I don't have to respond with a stress response to everybody's crying. I can use humor in those moments. I can use those moments as reminders to kind of like, maybe this is a great time to dim the lights. Maybe this is a great time to have a dance party with Roman. You know, there's so many different things. And my body immediately responded to my shift with my blood sugar coming back down. It's such a great tool in that way. Let me think if there are some other, I talked about the stress response. I talked about, you know, the difference between certain meals. You know, coffee in the morning with a little bit of cream actually brings my blood sugar down, which is cool. Your blood sugar is naturally higher at night. It's part of the counter-regulatory function of being asleep and having not eaten in a while. Your body is working to keep your blood sugar stable. And it was interesting to me to look at that trend and understand my body a little bit better, understand what happens if I wake up and I'm tossing and turning in the middle of the night and I don't get as much sleep, and I need to be even more careful with my choices the following day. I think in a lot of situations, people use, oh, I didn't sleep well last night, as a reason to have the sugary breakfast, have the sugary coffee drink, eat crap because they're tired. Well, when you're seeing that that is like literally wreaking havoc on your body, the data doesn't lie. And I really benefit from seeing that data. So this is something I plan to continue to do. For how long? I don't know. But at this point, I don't want to stop. So let's talk about how much does it cost. I already said that especially if you are severely overweight, pre-diabetic, diabetic, you can probably get your primary care to write you a prescription for a continuous glucose monitor, and that's going to, you know, have little or no cost. That does mean that you don't get Levels, and Levels has all these other like tools and resources that I like, but if you're just looking for the data, a lot of folks are going to be able to get that data at little to no cost. The way that Levels pricing works is you can get just like an initial starter pack and do it for, say, like 3 or 4 weeks and not continue doing it. And that would be anywhere between like $200 and $300 or $350 to start US dollars to start that. And I don't know what their international availability is. You'd have to look on their website. I'm in the US and I didn't have any trouble. What I did was I did that initial starter pack. It starts at $199, but I feel like there were some additional things that I paid for there, so it might have been closer to like $300. And then I opted into $199 a month to continue getting refills, because again, you do have to replace the sensor a couple of times a month. So $199 a month to continue. That is a lot of money. However, when I think about, Chris and I went out to dinner the other night, and it was over $100 for one meal. So if I'm willing to spend $100 on going out to dinner, I'm willing to spend $200 for something that is really helping me improve my long-term health and support my weight loss goals. No question about it. I can also look at, if I was like, gosh, $199, what can I cut? I could cut cable. And I'm pretty sure my cable is around $200 a month. I think it's like $160. No big deal. So if I were to not go out to eat one night, you know, stop going out to eat or go out to eat one time less, I'm already almost there, right? In my situation, some people don't go out to eat, or if they go out to eat, it might not be $100. But that's an easy thing for me to find that $199 a month for me. Why am I working and making money if not to take care of and prioritize my health? There are things that people do, you know, you could buy a pair of jeans that's $100 and a sweater that's $60, and you're already most of the way there. But you can also just decide to do it one time and then decide, do I want to find another way to make this investment come through? My personal sense is, if you are an individual who feels like, I don't know how to come up with $199 a month, you have another problem to solve. Because in this day and age, with inflation as it is, we all need to be able to find a way to come up with an extra $100, $200 a month through some side hustle, through a service-based business, through, you know, there's a million ways to do that. And I believe that those opportunities exist out there if we want them. So the ongoing cost for me is $199 a month, and it is absolutely worth it for me. I would love to answer any questions that you guys have on this. I will happily do a follow-up Q&A with any questions you have. I'm sure that there are things that you're wondering that I didn't think to cover. I do want to wrap up with, who do I think this is a good thing for, and who do I not think this is a good thing for? If you are a diabetic, obviously you need to work with a qualified health professional on the management of your diabetes. I am not that person, and Levels is not looking to diagnose, treat, cure, prevent any disease. That's not what they do. I'll also just reiterate what I said at the top of the show. I am not affiliated with Levels. I am a paying customer. I did reach out to them to see if they had an affiliate program. They were not at this time willing to have an affiliate relationship with me. I would love that if they were, but right now they are not. So, don't look at it as any type of replacement for a doctor. That's not how these things work. I also think that if you are somebody who is regularly binge eating, work on the basics first before you try to go to these sorts of options. Mindset is so much of this. And if you don't have your mind right, don't play around and jump around from, let me try this approach and let me try this. And so-and-so said this. And oh, now Elizabeth's talking about a continuous glucose monitor. I'm going to try that. Get your head right. That is why I work so hard to help people through the consistency course, because there's no tool or strategy that is going to overcome your immature or dishonest or, you know, just not aligned mindset. You have to get your head right first. So I don't think that it's for people who know that their head is in an excuse game, because you'll get it and you'll be like, oh, well, I'm going to eat everything that's not nailed down today before I start tomorrow. Because once I start with this continuous glucose, like, no, if you're thinking about it that way, you're already out of the game and you need to just work on your mindset. And when you get some improvements there, then you can think about something like this, in my personal opinion. So I think this is for people who are feeling pretty good about their consistency, but want another level of data, want another tool in the toolbox, but they already have that really healthy mindset and that general nutritional consistency down. That's what I think. I'm also going to link it up in the show description because I don't want people being like, is this it? Is this it? I'm going to put the link to Levels in the show description. There are other products. I don't have friends or colleagues who have used other ones. I do have a lot of people who have had really great experiences with Levels. I'm friends with somebody who's an investor. And I just wanted to kind of put that out there as there are other options. And I don't know the pricing of the other options, but I don't have any experience with those other options. I'll put the link to that in the show description. I'll put the link to the DagnyFoundation.org. Dagny is spelled D-A-G-N-Y. There is no E. The DagnyFoundation.org. I thank you guys in advance if you are so moved to support the cause. And let me know if you have questions about this, because I would love to do a Q&A episode. Have a great day.